Good morning. We are so happy to be here with you and so grateful for the invitation to come to Taylor County Camp. I was a graduate from Asbury, and I was on Asbury's summer ministry teams, but my friends got to come down here to the south, and I was on the north team. So I've heard lots of good things about Taylor County Camp from those fellow workers of mine from our college days. Now, Josh and I come from New Jersey. They even have camp meeting up in New Jersey. Imagine. So Josh and I met at camp meeting, the same camp meeting where my mom and dad met. And so our camp meeting heritage is rich and full. Josh and I both were called to full-time ministry because of camp meeting. But my path to missions was a little bit more quick and direct than Josh's. Josh will tell you that he thinks I just came out of the womb saying I'm going to go to the mission field. But it was at camp meeting when I was 13 that Jesus asked me to say yes. That just yes to whatever it is he might have for my life. And so at 13 I did. I said yes. And at 15, I went on my first mission trip, and I came home from that mission trip, and I told my mom I could do this the rest of my life. So she had a lot of time to prepare her heart. So then I went to Asbury, and after I went to Asbury, I got a scholarship that required that I go overseas and do missions work for a year. Within a year of graduation, or it turned into a loan I had to repay. So I booked a ticket to Uganda. And I taught at the very same school where we're at now for a year. Right after graduation, it was the worst year of my life. I like to say that I fell out of love with teaching that year and in love with Uganda. And so that's a bit of how we got there. Josh felt a call to youth ministry early in his life at Delanco, and while he was in college, watched a video that really changed his heart and got a hold of his heart for missions. And he emailed me while I was in Uganda, and he said, I think I'm on board for missions now. I said, great, now I can marry you, because I knew that was where I was headed. He came to visit me while I was there and found out that Uganda is not mud huts and desert, that it's the greenest, most tropical, lovely place you've ever seen in your life, and that we could be in the capital city where we would have a real house and real running water and electricity most of the time. So that's kind of how we got to where we are. We're hoping actually to get a chance to tell that story to the youth in a bit more expanded form, because isn't that what young people all want to know, is how do you hear the call of God? How do you find out what he wants you to do? And it's those little yeses along the way that empower you to make that big yes. It's never one big yes right up front. It's all those little yeses. And so we found that true in our life. And so we are just thankful for camp meeting. We are thankful for what a special place this is to you, and I'm going to let Josh take over for a little bit.
We are grateful, and most importantly grateful for God and his work in our life. And if you want to hear more of our story, you can come chat with us. But it definitely took the work of God to get a hold of my stubborn heart and to make clear the call to missions and give me a heart of obedience. As Kelly shared, we have been deeply impacted by our camp up in New Jersey, Delanco Camp Meeting, and how God has worked there. And I want to share a little bit. Brother Jack has mentioned a couple times and spoken about expecting God to work. And Delanco Camp is one of those places where as soon as I step foot on those grounds, I expect God to work. And I think most of you who have grown up here or have been part of Taylor County Camp feel the same way as soon as you step foot on the grounds. Now, I have to be honest with you, and this is probably a dangerous thing to say before the offering is taken. When I step foot on this grounds, I didn't quite feel the same way. The gnats were quite annoying. I didn't know that the Spirit could pierce through. But as I spent time here and at the altar, I know that this is a place, a special place, where God works. And we praise God for that. There was a couple months ago, Kelly and I, one habit that we've been trying to, or a discipline, I guess it, we should say, we've been trying to fight for each other, is to take a day of Sabbath, to take a day to rest, to get alone with the Lord. And with four kids, it's not easy, but we fight for each other's time. And there was, it was my turn, and I just felt the Lord saying, you know what, go out to Delanco Camp, our camp there. And we're blessed when we're in the States in New Jersey to live only 45 minutes away from our camp. And so I drove out there. And again, as soon as I stepped foot on the grounds, and I'm the only one there, I felt the presence of Jesus. And I expected him to meet me. And I walked around and I spent some time in the Word and prayer. And I just began talking to God. I said, God, what is it about this place that there's just a freedom, and I just sense your presence immediately. What is it about this place? And he said, very clear to me, he said, Josh, you know, you do expect to meet me here. Through your past experiences, and the Lord met me in many ways at camp meeting, and there's youth camps there. We had some good times. The Lord did a lot of work on my heart. And he said, you know what? You just have this built-in expectation, and that's a good thing. But he had to not chastise me, but remind me, Josh, this can be anywhere. This can be everywhere. Mm-hmm. It's not just on the grounds of your favorite camp meeting that you have to come and find me. Mm-hmm. Yes, it's a special place, and we praise God for those special places, but I can be found anywhere. Mm-hmm. I want to take a moment and give a little aside here. As most of you know, we have two older boys, Caleb and Seth. If you see our prayer card, you'll see them. They are at Delanco Camp this week, and that's why they're not with us here. Delanco is doing their youth camp for 4th, 5th, and 6th graders. And so I would ask that you would pray for Caleb and Seth. We are praying much this week as we're meeting with Jesus here that they would meet with Jesus up there in New Jersey. But again, we expect God to work, and God had to challenge me and remind me that he wants to work every day. He wants to meet me in a fresh way every day, wherever we are. And that is true in Uganda as well. So Kelly and I have been in Uganda since 2011. We work at Heritage International School. Heritage is a Christian school, pre-K through 12th grade school. We have about 350 students. And here's the exciting thing. Students from over 24 different countries are represented within the student body at Heritage. You got that? Over 24 different countries. I think actually this past year that just ended, they had 26 nationalities represented in the student body. So literally the nations are coming to this little school in Kampala, Uganda. What we do there is we serve as the chaplains or the pastors of the campus. We oversee the spiritual life of the school. Doing chapel, we do a youth group, youth ministry type program with our middle and high school students. We do mission projects, make sure it's a private school. We do have some Ugandans, they're more the upper class, but the needs are right there outside of the walls of our school, and we make sure that our school is present in the community. And so Kelly and I will oversee kind of the mission project component of our school, making sure that each class is out in the community. A lot of times we'll partner with other local schools, and make sure, you know, our first grade class is partnering with kids of the same age in the local school, meeting a need in the community. Kelly and I serve as counselors and just providing pastoral care, not just for the students, but for the staff, for the parents. We have, again, 350 students. I would say that not quite 50% are missionary kids. The other half, parents are involved in business, parents are involved in government, parents are involved in other NGO or charity type work. We have many different religions represented within our student body. Again, we're a Christian school, unashamedly so, but we get families who are Muslim, we get Hindu, atheist, you know, nothing. But for whatever reason, they're sending their kids to Heritage, and we say, bring them on. We want to love them and introduce them to Jesus. And as God was talking to me about expectations, it was a reminder that He has set the stage at Heritage to do some big things, to reach the nations. And He had to ask me, do I expect Him every day to show up? Do I expect Him every day to work in the hearts of these students and these parents to change the world? And that we might not see the immediate result. We probably won't see the immediate result. But God is using us to plant a seed, to be a step in the process, and to use these students to go around the world. You know, there's high turnover at Heritage. They're going to go back to their home country, or they're going to go somewhere else. And so here's just an awesome opportunity to be based in a country that is then going to send people out. You talk about Taylor County being a launch pad. That's been our prayer this whole HMA, that Heritage International School will become a launch pad for missions. And so how exciting is that a camp here in Taylor County can now be a part of a launch pad in Kampala, Uganda, that is sending missionaries across the world. Jack, you also said something. You said, talking about boldness. And the quote was, boldness is God putting me in a situation where I cannot succeed on my own strength. And that's how Kelly and I feel as we enter into Heritage. 24 different nationalities, 24 different cultures. I can't even make sense of your culture down here in Georgia. I certainly can't make sense of the 24 different cultures in Uganda. High school students, I like high school students. I can get along with high school students. The younger they get, the more I struggle.
Which is good, because I make up the other.
And that's why God gave me her. And then parents, you know, being a pastor to parents who are missionaries, okay, we can get that. But when we have parents who are involved in high government offices, I don't know how to relate to them. When we have parents who subscribe to Islam, you know, we have to cross over these boundaries. And I have to tell you, it can be easily become overwhelming. And this quote spoke to me because we have the power of the Holy Spirit coming with us. We can enter in with boldness and let Him do the hard work. We just need to be the hands, the feet, the voice of Jesus. And so that's what we want to be. That's what we want to do. Kelly's going to share a scripture, but beyond Heritage as well, I just want to speak a moment about expectations within World Gospel Mission. A lot of you have heard, you know that we have a new president, and we have a president who God has given a very bold vision. President Schaefer wants to double the impact of World Gospel Mission. Well, he doesn't want to do it. He believes that God wants to do it. He wants to see the impact of World Gospel Mission doubled across the world. That is a bold vision. It's one that we easily get behind and support. In Uganda, last night's message that David spoke, God's shaken things up, even in Uganda. We have refugees pouring into Uganda. I mean, Uganda has become, and I don't know all the statistics, but it is probably one of the most refugee-friendly nations in the world. And they don't have the resources to handle it, but they have open arms to say, it's okay, come on in. And I believe, as I sat and listened to the message last night, that is part of God shaking up, bringing the nations to us, bringing people of different faiths into Uganda. That is a Christian nation that is open to Christianity and giving us an opportunity to reach these nations. And we pray as we work with them and love on them, Lord willing, they're able to go back home to their countries. Or maybe they go somewhere else, but we want, again, to send them with the gospel of Jesus. And I believe that is one way that God's going to use WGM there in Uganda and to double its impact. To take advantage sounds, I'm a little uncomfortable with that, but to see as an opportunity these refugees coming in. And there's many other opportunities that maybe we can share about over the meal table of what WGM is doing in Uganda and how God is using them. But I'll stop talking now.
All right. Alrighty. So as we were praying and thinking about this idea of expectations, the picture that came to my mind was a farmer. And I'm not a farmer, though my granddad was a peach and apple farmer in Jersey. So I know a little bit. But when you put a seed in the ground, you expect it to grow, right? That's why we plant. Yes? Yes, that's why we plant. We plant seeds because we expect something to happen. And the scripture I want to turn to is 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And I know you're all familiar with this passage. We're just going to start in verse 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5. And I love this picture because it talks about the partnership that we have in the gospel together. Who then is Paul? And who is Apollos? But ministers through whom you believed as the Lord gave to each one. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. So this picture of some people planting and some people watering, there's weeding that has to take place, there's cultivating. We all have a role in the kingdom building that God wants to do, in the planting and the watering. And we can't go and do what God has called us to do without his people here being obedient to what he's calling you to do. And just like Lee was saying, whether you're a plumber or a missionary, if you're obeying God, he brings the increase. There's no difference between a lay person and a pastor or a teacher or a missionary. We can all be obedient to what God is calling us to. And we are expecting God, as we partner together, as you do your part and we do our part, we are expecting God to bring the increase. We are expecting God to grow hearts and lives that are fully transformed, that are living holy lives, who are going to the corners of the earth to spread this glorious news that we know and love. And I get excited about that. I get excited that you get to participate in what God is doing in the ends of the earth, and that we get to be at this little school of Uganda and watch his kingdom explode from there all around the world. If you take a look at our yearbook on our table over here, each little kid's picture has their little name and the country that they're from. Korea, Australia, the Netherlands, in Uganda. For who knows why? God knows why. And he has a purpose for bringing them to Heritage International School. And so we want to extend the invitation to you. We would love to see how God wants to use you to bless the nations through Heritage International School. We need prayer support. We have already been blessed by your prayer support here this week. Already. You got me crying on Monday afternoon, or Saturday afternoon, whenever it was.
Hard.
It is. It's not very hard. You've already circled around us, and we would love for that to continue. We have weekly updates. We have monthly updates. We have quarterly updates. You get to choose what flavor of update you want. We can send those via email. We can send quarterly updates through the mail. We would love to keep you posted. We're on Facebook. We're on Instagram. We're all over. So if you want to stay up to date, we would love to get those things in the mail to you. And we would love to be praying for you. We would love to take your requests with us as we go, because this is a partnership. And we also have a financial need. We need $250 a month in pledges. So if five of y'all took $50 a month, We'd be getting on that plane in 2 weeks from today. We have plane tickets for 2 weeks from today. And we need $250 a month to be able to get our feet and all our kids' feet on that plane to Uganda. We're so grateful for what a good deal we got on these tickets. It's crazy. So we want to take advantage of that. We also need some one-time gifts. We haven't gotten our latest report, have we? So we also do need some special gifts as well to get us on our way, but we're not exactly sure what that number is. And we want to invite you to come. I have always had a dream of owning a bed and breakfast. Always. And you know what God did? God gave me a 4-bedroom, 3.5 bathroom house in Uganda. I get to have people sleep at my house all the time. And I love it. Although last term was a different story. We closed our doors. We couldn't handle life. But we're back up and running now. Our first term, when we just had 2 boys and no busy little girls, we had overnight guests 40% of our first 2 years. And I loved every minute of it. I love it so much. We've got a guest room with your name on it, and we would love to have you come. Heritage, if you are a teacher, Heritage is always needing teachers to come for 1 year, 2 years, 7, 8, 9 years, whatever. So we would love to talk to you more about that as well. All right, Josh's got one story for you, and then we'll be stepping down.
Looked at the clock, and I have a story to tell. So.
Oh, yeah, sure.
He
said we can
Q&A. Okay, great. I just want to, as you pray about if the Lord is leading you to partner with this ministry, and we're very excited to hear Laura Lee, and we clearly understand that God is at work all over the world. And so as whatever he's tugging on your heart to further your mission's involvement, and we would love if that's you gone, but we ultimately just want you to be obedient.
Yes.
to that tug. But just to give you a real personal story of how God is at work in Uganda, this chaplain job at Heritage, our first term, our MD term, we were able to do that that position. We were the first chaplains that this Christian school has ever had, which is crazy to think. But we entered into that first year, and it was a tough year. We had a senior class that, and I don't know if there's school teachers out there, the senior class tends to set the tone for the school. And we had a rough senior class. They were not interested in much of anything. And they let that be known. They were hard to get along with. It was tough. And there was just this wall that we were praying against and just fighting against. And I began to speak to our younger students, our middle school students. And I said, you know what, guys? Because they felt it.
Yeah.
I said, you know what? If you respond in obedience to Jesus, if you start saying, you know what, we want this Christian school to be one that loves Jesus and that the Spirit just has freedom to move in the school, I said, if you decide that you want that, the older kids will respond. They will notice and things will change. Talk about expectations. I don't know how many preachers are out there. You preach some things and you wonder, do I really believe what I'm saying? And I just kept drilling that into them, until one day, two young boys came to me. I think at that time they were in eighth grade. DK, and he's from South Korea, and Briggs from the Philippines. They came up to me and they said, "Mr. Josh, we've been talking. We were wondering if you would spend time with us once a week for some Bible study. We want to get a little bit more serious in our walk with Jesus." And I so absolutely, I would love to. The middle school boys, and so once a week they would come and visit with me, and we would pray together and study the scriptures together, and they were going deeper in their walk with Jesus and getting more and more serious, and it was just neat to watch their lives change and their class change. And came around to our Easter chapel, and we do a big Easter chapel, the whole school together, and I just felt the Lord asking me, challenge these two to give testimony in chapel. So I went to Briggs and DK and I said, "Boys, would you be willing to share what God has been doing in your heart in front of the whole school?" I fully expected them to say no. And they, without question, They said, absolutely, we'll do that. They were terrified, but they said we would do that. So Easter Chapel in front of the whole school, Briggs and DK get up and they just give testimony. You know, it was middle school boy testimony, but just the work that God had been doing in their heart. And I'm telling you, it was amazing, the response. And the Spirit just, I believe, just broke through what barriers were there. And the rest of that school year, the few months that we had left, a whole different tone. And we began the following school year with just this openness, this freedom of the Spirit to move. Where then I had my next senior class come. And I had a boy, very early in the year, a young man, he's a missionary kid, one of our WGM missionaries, came to me and said, I'm Uncle Josh to him. He said, Uncle Josh, can I share in chapel? Can I just tell my story in chapel? I said, absolutely. Caleb shared his story in chapel, shared just how God had been working in his heart. And I'm not exaggerating here. I know preachers don't do that either. For 3 or 4 weeks, I would have after the chapel, I'd have another senior come to me and say, Mr. Josh, I want to share in chapel next week. And they weren't preparing sermons. They were just telling their story. They were telling how God had been at work in their heart. And that just, again, the floodgates were open. The Spirit moved, and it was just a completely different feel on the school grounds because the Spirit had the freedom to move. And so I share that story because that's what we're praying for. That's what we want to see. These students just getting in touch with the work of God in their life, sharing it with one another, being transparent with one another, and we're praying that that will continue as they move from Heritage. So that's the type of ministry that we are inviting you to be a part of with us. So I think we have a few minutes left. There's some questions that you have, whether it's about Heritage or just life in Uganda. We would love to answer those. Yes.
Right here.
What is your favorite part about working at school? Yeah. We'll probably have the same answer. I don't know. But just the diverse culture. I love the diverse cultures. Meeting the different nations that are represented. There's an event that Heritage does. We pride ourselves on being an international school. And there's a key event in the middle of the year. International dinner, where we invite all the families to come, and each country has their own table, and they have their own dish, and so you get a lot of good food from all over the world. But then we just celebrate our diversity. We celebrate our differences, because it's strange. We're going to talk more about it tonight, but our differences is what we have in common, if that makes sense. We celebrate that. And so it's just an exciting event, and so that's a key. I don't know if you have something to
say. Yeah. I said a little bit about how I taught at Heritage when I was fresh out of college. And so my favorite thing about working at the school is just reaching out to those other new teachers who feel lost and lonely and in over their heads. I love just coming up alongside them and giving them a hug and praying with them and just that empathy that I've been where you are and I get it.
Yes, they all have to sign a statement of faith and profess Christ.
Some deeper than others.
Some are deeper than others, for sure. So it's definitely a ministry, even to some teachers, for sure. But yes, all of them fully understand that we're a Christian school and we expect that they have a relationship with Jesus. Yeah, absolutely. I think, again, it's this weird dynamic of we are different and so we are the same. Mm-hmm. And the school celebrates that. Mm-hmm. And I think that does make us strong. You will never see all the Americans over here, all the Ugandans here, and all the Koreans. You'll never see that. They're always mixed. They love each other. A new student comes in. I've never seen it. I don't see it in the public schools here. I don't see it in the Christian schools here in America. A new student comes here and immediately they're a part of the family. Mm-hmm. It's crazy. Mm-hmm. It's crazy.
Well,
I mean, the school is not a WGM-run school. The school is their own entity. I would say they have grown to the point where tuition is covering the vast majority of their needed resources. We get books from the States. We're accredited through an international body, but that's based here in the States, and so we get our curriculum from them. We pull a lot of teachers, especially secondary school. We try a lot of teachers come from outside of Uganda, a lot from America, but also other countries.
Like the teachers bring a lot of their own supplies.
You talk about, classroom supplies definitely come from outside. Mm-hmm. That would be one creative way if you wanted to support teachers at Heritage. You can't really get classroom supplies if you teachers out there know how important those are. There's one store in Kampala where they might be able to find some things. And so that might be one neat way to partner with the school.